Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C.O.G., whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
So it's our family and friends Sunday, and we're going to be doing something quite unusual. Can you turn to someone and tell them you are welcome to church? What became with your friends or members of your family? What did they say? Did you come with your friends and members of your family? All right, so we're going to have an interesting session this morning. It's more like a podcast, and we're going to be having interviews and some wonderful people in our midst will be answering questions, and you'll be getting answers, and just enjoy the service, all right? It's not the regular. We just thought to just do something different, all right? So please, let's welcome with me the very following wonderful people as they come up for this beautiful session. Mr. and Mrs. Chikamso. We have Brother Tolu Lope, Agbe Jimmy, and Wura Ola. Please, can we have you on? Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Okay, so it's safe to say this is Potter's TV. And we are live. All right, we're going global, so let's start rehearsing. Thank you so much for that. Let me welcome everyone once again. And let me start by asking us to do a quick introduction so that you know them by their names. Please, let me start with people on this side. Can we have you say your name and, if possible, your... Okay, let me go to the camera. Your name is mine.
All right. I am Tolu Lope Agbe Jimmy.
I am Oladipupo Abigail Wura Ola.
I am Mrs. Chikamso.
Mr. Chikamso Ndubisi. I am a businessman.
All right. Thank you so much for that. So we're looking at two major sessions today. We're talking about friendship and looking about family as well. So my first question would be, what's your longest, let me go this way first, your longest standing friendship? Like, how many years have you had a friend? I can say this friend has been part of my year for like 100 years. What's your longest friendship relationship that you've had? You can go
ahead. My longest friendship relationship right now is 6 years.
6 years. Okay, so what happened to the other people?
Like 2 6 years and 1 5 years. So 3. So
all right.
I'm traveling light.
All right, okay, please.
All right, my longest friendship is 14 years.
Wow.
From 2010 to now.
Has anyone had anyone longer than that? If I'm congregation. Anyone had something longer than 14? Oh, that's amazing. Sir and Ma, please, over to you. Your longest standing friendship that you've had. Not with your husband, Ma, but friends in general.
20 years.
Wow. 20 years. Sir?
I have a relationship that spans from my university days and is still on. And so that's in the close to 25 years now.
Wonderful.
Right from our university days up till this very day, we are still in touch.
Wow. That's amazing. That goes to show us that friendship is important. I mean, I know that there are people who don't want friends or don't like friends. Maybe they had bad experiences. Your friend liked the guy that you liked, or likes the girl that you like, or and they go saying some things, that girl, she's not good enough for you, or, you know, the girl snatches your man. So you've had bad experiences, and so for some reasons, you don't think it's important to have friendship. Let me start by saying this. You can't do life alone. You can't. It is a can't situation. You can't do life alone. At some point, you need people who will be there with you, people who can stand with you, who can pray with you, who are there with you through thick and thin. So we all need friends. For me, my longest standing friendship is 30-something years, actually. I do have friends. I think our friends who are about 30-something years with me. Yes, that's my longest. I have childhood friends that we have refused to outgrow each other. And that's because as you are growing, I'm growing, as you are growing, I'm growing. And so it's difficult to outgrow each other. But not all of us that started together are still friends. All right. So to my next question and to the main now. I want to ask, I know that friendship brings good impact and then bad impact. Some of you are product of bad choices of friends. And the first negative thing you did, a friend showed you. The first time probably lied, it was a friend. The first time probably stole, it was a friend. The first time you slept over at the guy's place, was a friend. The first time you did something that you wouldn't do on a normal day, it was a friend. Yet, there's also that side of the friends that, you know, teach you positive things and equip you. So I want to ask, what's that, so in two ways now, what's the greatest impact a friend have had on you, positive and negative? The positive impact and then the negative impact. Please feel free to say it the way it is.
Okay, for the positive, I think it's about trying to make things work out for myself. Okay. So this person is always trying to push me. Even though all of them all around me, they are people that are always this eye, setters, achievers, trying to break through all through academics. All of my friends are just academic people. So yes, academics, career, few of them. So they push me to just make my life have this good use. And then having this impacting life, academic basically. And then for the bad part, that was when I was very young, when I had to drink alcohol. Yes, I drank alcohol, and it was a very amazing situation that when I took it, I thought I was sleeping on a bed. I never knew I was sleeping under the bed. That when I woke up again, still in that drunkenness, I thought my hair was full. I used a shaving stick to shave it. And then when I came out, I never knew that I did that stuff. And then people started laughing at me. Since then, I told myself that I will never drink again. No matter the matter, I don't care if you are the best person on planet Earth, because that was a disgrace for me. I was very young, like 10, 12. A very bad one. So that was just it.
Thank you so much. That's you.
All right, so the positive impact friends have had in my life is, I think spiritual growth is one very big positive impact my friends have had. My friends are, as a matter of fact, one of my friends introduced me to PTCC. And since then, we've been together here. And I want to believe that if my friends were not people who were spiritually or who are spiritually driven, I feel like I wouldn't be where I am spiritually right now. So they make me want to, they keep me accountable. So they make me want to be better spiritually. And of course, in every aspect of life, but I think spirituality for us is key. So they help me stand strong in God. They help me. There's one of my friends, she's a pastor here, and she's key on purity. And when I mean purity, I'm not just talking surface purity. I mean every purity, even heart. So it makes me, if I want to do some things, I remember that, oh, this is not part of what we do. So it keeps me in check. And for negative impact, well, I remember when I was in secondary school, I went to a boarding house. So when I think I said two, a couple of my friends didn't used to go to church. So, and I was a pastor's child anyway, so I would just stay with them in the hostel and not go to church. And then another negative impact that had on me was that it made me lose what I was bringing from home, like the spiritual, this thing from home. And then I think another negative impact is immorality, sexual immorality. I remember having this family friend. I would have been a lesbian, thank God, Sha. She was, you know, doing some funny things at the time. But thank God for salvation, Sha.
Thank you so much for that. Can I please, you know, appreciate them? Okay, so for the couples, I'm going to ask questions around communication. So we do know that one of the greatest challenges we have in marriage and in relationships in general is communication. So communication is not effective, or misunderstanding, or something around that. So sometimes it brings a lot of issue. Right? So there's a lot of issue around communication. So my question is, what can couples do to make communication better in their homes? What can families do to make communication better in their homes?
All right. One thing you can do to make communication better is listening to your spouse. Okay. Not just by speaking, by action. Most times, spouses don't talk when they need to communicate. They believe you should know me better than speaking. There are things your spouse will do, and you should understand what he or she means. What he or she means. And sometimes, even when you are in the office, you can type, you can chat, how are you? How has been your day? What are you doing? Have you had your lunch? Have you had your breakfast? You can, as much as you can, you can communicate, not just when you see yourself. No. You can be in US and she can be here. You can still communicate as much as you want. Thank you.
All right.
For, like the scriptures will always say, two cannot walk except the both of them agree. And between the spouses, the man and the woman, communication is very key. And if you are trying to get your spouse's attention and you are not getting it, you will have to think outside the box. Okay. Now, if she is under pressure at work, she's not likely to be at the same frequency with you. Now, you will have to devise other means to get her attention. You could say the right thing the wrong way, and you get the wrong result. You could do the right thing the wrong time, and you get the wrong result. So, in your bids to communicate with your spouse, watch the timing. There are some certain things that you don't bring up at the wrong time. If you bring it up at the wrong time, you will send the wrong signal. And it's just a small spark could ignite a very big fire. Now, the timing is key. The mood of your spouse is also key. And if you notice that what you are trying to push forward is not, he or she is resisting it, leave it. As a matter of fact, when you are hot, when you are angry, by all means, do not try to push the agenda that moment. Because whatever you're trying to pass on that time, you are not likely to do it with your right senses. Because why? There is anger in the background. And so what you end up bringing up, it will be a situation where you have a disconnect, a friction between the spouses. Check the time, the motive. And at every point in time, because you are both are one, the man and the woman, you are one, you are working towards one purpose, one goal. Have that at the back of your mind that, yes, we are doing this together. You may have come from different backgrounds, different family orientations, but be ready to move a little to the left, a little to the right, a little adjustment here and there, and you'll see. You will certainly get there. Praise God.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that, sir. Okay, let me ask also, how about what should communication look like between parents and children? Because sometimes people think that there's a certain way it should be because the parents are high up there and then the children are lower, even when they're teenagers or adolescents or whatever age. So what should be an ideal communication system between parents and children? For example, not just be very little children, maybe adult children. What should their communication level be like?
Well, for my own self, my children are my friend.
Okay.
After my husband, is my children. If my husband is not around me, is my children. I think that should be there should be a relationship between parents and children. At home, daddy first, then mommy, then the children follows. But at the same time, children should have their boundaries. This is where you should not cross. When you are talking to your parents, you should know you are talking to your parents. When you are talking to your siblings, you should know you are also talking to your siblings. Your children should be able to lean on you. Your children should be able to confide in you no matter what. I tell my children, if you don't confide in your parents, you are in trouble. We parents are also in trouble. So I would advise parents, do not scold even when it is needed. There are ways to correct a child. If you correct that child harshly, you drive that child to other people, maybe friends and other parents. So I will advise parents, as much as you can, let your children be your friend. Let them confide in you, no matter what they have done, no matter the offense they have committed. You should be able to tell them calmly what you have. I'm not saying you should eat pamper even when they are wrong. No. I flog. My children will tell you, my mom flogs very well. But even in my flogging, I have limits. I don't just flog because I should flog. Before I flog you, you will know that I deserve cane. Even at times, you know you deserve cane. I will just talk to you. I will leave the matter. Most times, I wake them middle, as in early hours of the day, to talk to them. We parents, we should communicate with our parents, with our children. Make them your friend. It is very, very important. Communicate with them. Let them confide in you. It is very important. If not, you will lose your children to the street. And most times you will be crying, where did I lose it? You have lost your children long ago. Let them be able to tell you, no matter what your child have done, he slept in the guy's place. Yes, tell your parents. Tell your parents. Tell, it's not necessarily your mother. You can as well talk to your father, but I noticed that most children confide in their mother more than their father, not because that is wicked or whatever. But most children feel that mommy is more calm. But in my house, I balance it. Whatever you tell me, you'll be thinking it will not get to your daddy, sorry. It will get to him one way or the other, yes, because tomorrow he will say, but you knew about it. In any way, it will get to your father. If it doesn't get to your father today, it will get to your father so that we can manage whatever is happening. We can talk about it, manage it, then he will give me response. Most times, I won't know what to tell the child because I'll be like, wow, don't worry, I'll think about it. Let me digest what you've just told me. I'll go back to my friend. I'll say, my love, see what is happening. We'll talk about it, and he will say, let's do it this way. I will come back and say, the child won't even know I've taken the matter to the dad. I'll say, let's do it this way. So it is very, very important for our children to be our friends. Thank you.
Are better molded. If they see what you do, there are certain things that I would ordinarily want to do, but because I don't want them to copy after it, I will refrain from it. What am I trying to say here is, parents, learn to live by example. Whatever you don't want your children to do, don't do it. And if at all you do it, how would you even do it without them seeing you? How can you tell somebody, I am in mile two when you are at home? How can you tell somebody, I am coming when you know you are going somewhere else? And you are telling a lie, and your children are seeing you, they are listening, and you don't expect them to do the same to you. In fact, they see whatever you put before them, they see it as a norm, as a platform. That is the way to go. So if you want to mold a better children, better tomorrow, please, it's a sacrifice. Live by what you preach. Whatever you preach, do it. Let them see you practically doing it. Praise God.
Thank you very much, sir. Okay, so let me ask on this side. For you as people who are not parents now, looking at your relationship with your parents, how do you see the communication ladder? Do you think like it's been like what you're saying, like being friends with your parents, you can tell them anything, like anything, and you trust that they would have your back? So what's it like for you?
You can go ahead. All right. So, well, growing up, I didn't have that communication with my mom. My dad was It was present, but usually it's my dad, my mom mostly, that is around. So I didn't have that because she was quick to misunderstand. If I say something now, or I tell her that, this brother is stopping me, I'll be in trouble. So I keep it to myself. But I think as I grew up, we found a balance. She started to understand that, I'm growing up. And I feel like she regrets the fact that she didn't give us listening ear, or that we couldn't confine that because we're afraid of telling her these things. So now I actually tell my mom everything. Now we talk a lot. I tell her everything. If this, because I know that she cannot beat Misha. So that's why.
All right, over to you, please.
Okay, for my mom and dad, I tell them everything.
Wow.
I tell them everything. So particularly for my dad is just like my friend. Like, most of the things that I tend to pick up is just from looking at both of them. And basically for the part of the discipline part, trying to, he's always someone that, give a particular example then when I'm someone that sees some things and then speak about it as soon as possible. So he did a test on me, then when we were still living, he faced me, I slapped you there. So he killed a cat and then called me, threw it into the pit. So he allowed me to go inside. He told, he was listening to me when I went inside. I was telling him, so my dad just killed a cat now, blah, 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 blah. He now called me outside and then he spanked me. He said, he told me that it's not everything that you see that you see. Since that day, I learned something. It's not everything that you see. So a lot of things like that, some examples of things. So my dad, my mom, prayer life. My mom is a very wonderful person. Yes, so I tell them basically every single thing.
Right, thank you. Okay, so let me ask, still on couple, still regarding challenges that people face in marriages and family, financial constraints. That's one thing that breaks family apart, finances. They say you cannot really do love without money. Let us be honest. It's true. You can love someone that doesn't have money today and you believe in their future. But there's a way money is a spirit. You see, there's a part of money that has love. Money is important. That's the best I can say. Money is important in marriage because children will go to school. You want to buy a house or rent a house. You want a better life for your children. You want to buy a car or cars. You want to travel around the world. And so when there is no money to meet the basic need of a family, love will sit down one side. Yes. Then you now see the real person. Praise the Lord. All right, so I want to ask, when people have disagreements about spending, sometimes what happens is that the couples, maybe the man is a spendthrift. He's always spending, buying expensive things. Maybe the woman is a saver. And she feels like, let us save for the future. And the man is like, Jesus can come tomorrow. Let us spend this money now. Let's enjoy life. For God that provided today will provide tomorrow. So when people have those kind of issues in families, there's disagreements with finances, somebody is spending, somebody thinks that they should save and all those things. What is the best way you advise? So that young people here probably having those issues in their relationship now, maybe with a guy or a girl that likes to spend and you're already having issues. So this personal question will actually help you. What's your best advice for how to go about finances and marriage and relationship?
First of all, we should tell ourselves how much we earn. Because from how much you earn, you plan how to save. Like I'll tell my husband, money can't just come in and we just spend it. No. I like savings a lot. My husband is there. I like savings a lot. I like it. I like it. The moment I get money, I'll tell him, let's save. The moment I see a lot in this one, I'll tell him, there's money, let's save. It's very, very important. And now, if you think your wife is a better planner, let her plan your finance. It doesn't make you less. Let her plan your finance for you. And if you think your husband knows how to save more than you do, allow him plan it. It's for the both of you. You are family. You are one. You are one. And in the time when it comes to borrowing, I don't advise family to borrow. You can only borrow to invest, or you can only borrow when it comes to illness, when life is at stake. Apart from that, I don't see any reason, not even good, no reason for any family to borrow. No matter how little you are earning, as much as you can make sure you have savings. Because there are some things that you do not plan for that will just come up. That is sure, especially when you have children. So it is very, very important. No matter how, I tell people, house rent is not urgent.
No.
Pregnancy is not, no. It's 9 months. Some will tell me, I said, no. The day you took in, you are earning something. No matter how little, make sure you are keeping money aside. It is very important. Make sure you are keeping money aside. Yes, maybe you have planned for safe delivery and TS comes up, fine. You can ask for help before thinking of borrowing. Why do I say I don't like borrowing? When you borrow, the money you are even making is not even enough to meet your present need. Then how do you plan to pay for the money you have borrowed? It's, to the best of my knowledge, it is not right. It is not advisable for any family to borrow. No matter how much you are earning, plan with it and think of adding something to what you are doing. If the woman is not doing anything, it is dangerous. Find something to do. I tell them, no matter how little, just start up something so that you can assist your partner. Just like my Pastor Regina said, you can't love without money. It is impossible. I love you, I love you. She's in need, he's in need. You can't meet her need. She cannot meet your need. I don't know how that love will work or how it will be sweeter. No. So as much as we can, for women, if you are not doing anything, look for something small. Don't wait for when you get a big shop or whatever. No. You can start something right in your house. And with that, you can start saving. Same demand. No matter how much you are earning, be open to each other, because if you are not open, there's no way you can help each other. Be open. This is how much I make. This is how much I have. How do we plan with it? If you think he does better planning, let him plan your finance. It will help you people to the next stage. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mister, before I respond to that, let me ask something before you allow you to respond, sir. How about situations where the man will not allow the woman know what is earning? Or somebody is hiding something from somebody, and then they think they don't have, not knowing that they have so much. What's your best advice to somebody like that who is seated here or online, and then they are not so transparent and they are still having financial issues? You can respond to that. That's okay.
To start with, it is wrong. And when I say wrong, it is in capital letters, for couples not to disclose their finances to one another. Very, very wrong. Now, from experience, we've seen quite a number of persons have gone into avoidable pain because they did not disclose 100% their financial status to their spouse. And should something happen tomorrow, you go through difficulties before you can access that fund. So it is very wrong for a couple to say, this one, let me keep this one, not tell my wife or not tell my husband. If you, the both of you are working towards one goal, there's no reason why you should conceal. I know that sometimes some things could skip your mind. But the moment you know, you recall, please let them know. This is money that is coming. This is money that is you are expecting. And so that you, two heads are better than one. And I tell you the truth. God did not make mistake when, after creating Adam, saw a void and created a helpmate. Such anywhere in the world, you will never fault that status that God had made. Forget the fact that we are in a church setting. It's true. Two are better than one. When two lie together, they keep warm. What does that tell you? It tells you that they are adding value. So when you conceal your financial status, your financial stand, your financial expectations from your spouse, you are not doing yourself any good. Praise the Lord. Then, let me also say, when it comes to managing your finances, the times are, I will not call it difficult or bad, or I would rather say it's a very challenging time that not just in Nigeria and the world over. People are going through challenging financial constraints. Then it calls for people to have option B, an alternative option. If you are in a paid job, honestly, I don't know how you cope. Your salary, inflation has gone from single digit to double digit, and the double digits are entering into their 20s and 30s. And your salary have not shifted. What do you do? If not for the fear of God, a lot of paid people who are under paid employment will be doing unethical things. Now, but you could, if properly you plan and look around you, for those of you who have a property, at the back of your house, you can do a lot with that space, that grass. You are even paying Aboki to go and clean up the grasses, whereas you should have turned that place to a small garden. If you look at the way the Israelis are growing because of their limited land space, even in a bucket, you could grow crops there. Pepper, tomato, in a bucket. Those water, when you wash your tomato and you pour the water away, notice that where you pour it away, before you know it, tomatoes have started growing there. If you pull up that tomato plant and put it in a bucket, pull the second one, put it two in a bucket, and leave it there, water it. Before you know it, you have grown tomato that you can use and do your indomie or do your pasta or do something in the house. Now, what am I trying to say? When the situation is as it is financially in the country and in the world, it gives people the opportunity to begin to think outside the box. There are a lot of potentials you have, you are hitherto not using or optimizing or even maximizing. Look for avenues to increase your sources of income. These days, people are into online buying, people are selling things online, people are doing a lot of things, exploring options on the high-tech platforms. The situation on ground calls for people who would depend on the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, your friend, your companion, if you ask him, Lord, what do we do now? You are probably sitting on a gold mine and you don't even know. By the time the Holy Spirit tells you, this way, go, do this, do that, you will suddenly realize that you would pray that the economy become like this so that you begin to explore the opportunities that you hid at before now. You are not using. You are not thinking. Praise the Lord.
Pastor Regina asked. She said, what of in a situation whereby your spouse is not open to tell you how much he earns and how much he has or she has? I will advise to the both spouses. If you think your spouse is not open enough, you should have another account where you put in money. I'm not saying you should hide your money from your spouse, no. But this, I call this fallback, don't go there. Or it is not even my money. So that when there are difficult times in the house, you don't allow your spouse to go out and look for finance. It is wrong. You can go there, let him or her know that we are borrowing money from a particular account, yes, that should be paid back, if possible with interest. You borrow the money from that account, let him or her pay back with interest. At least it has covered your shame. You don't need to go to A or B to borrow. You are still borrowing from the house, but has to be paid back. I think with that, it will balance the situation in the family.
Thank you very much. Okay, one of the greatest things my parents did for me, apart from many other things, is teaching me how to save as a child. So growing up, saving wasn't a big deal. it wasn't a big deal at all, like putting money aside, because that's how I was raised. And I think it's something that we can incorporate as parents as well, learning to save. These are things that you would think there is love in the household until you wish, give me money to buy this one. Not because I'm not even making your money, that's not the issue now, but you need more money. So you want to change your children's school, and there's not enough money. If you are working, I'm working, and then the money is still not enough. That's when you know that money can bring about issues. So money is something that brings about constraints in families. So we have heard them say that you should plan for a better way to earn. If you are doing one thing, look for other opportunities. You know, so back then they would tell you, when things are expensive on the outside like this, cut down on your expenses. But I'm saying to you, instead of cutting down your expenses, look for more ways to make more money. You can't keep cutting down. Will you cut down and start eating 1 meal a day? By the time you fall ill or you have ulcer or any of those things, you still need money to treat yourself. So instead of cutting down all your expenses, with regards to, I'm not saying being lavish or spending anyhow. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about cutting down on unnecessary expenses. But also look for other means too. So our encouragement to couples is to learn to talk about the money that you have and plan your life together with what you have. If you want to give, talk about it. If you want to spend, talk about it. If you want to invest, talk about it. Talk about the money that you have together. Okay, now I'll ask a question from you and ask another question. So for you, let me ask, what would it be for you? Would you rather a joint account in marriage or a separate account? What's your honest stand on it? Would you rather have a joint account with your spouse in marriage when you get married, or a separate account? I'm already having reactions. Okay. Joint. Just be honest. Feel free. Don't worry about what other people think. It's your thoughts, all right?
I never thought about it before. I just believe there will be a level that I won't even think about my wife's money. So okay. I don't think.
So which one would you go for? What's the option? Joint accounts that together we have, so money doesn't go out except we don't know about it, or we have a separate account and we are fine.
We can have a joint account probably for savings.
Okay, but you still have other
yes, accounts. But okay. I don't think. Because I think my money is our money. Your money should be our money. So it shouldn't okay. be. it shouldn't be. Yes, because it's we are come together as one. You shouldn't. You know, there's this saying that a man's money is the family's money. Why the woman's money is our money? So I think it's not right, because we agreed together to make it happen, to get married, to make it happen, to bring something forth. So we are trying to hold something. That means you are not transparent enough. So there can be a joint account for savings. So we are saying that, okay, we have this thing for emergencies or whatsoever that want to turn up. But as a person, I don't think I would depend on my wife's money.
Okay, over to you.
All right, so for me, I think, like he said, we can come together to have a joint account for maybe family, our plans, investment, or stuff like that. But I think I'll still want to have my own account. I mean, if I want to get something, must you know that I want to buy something. So I think I would still like to have my separate account. Maybe it's just to have a sense of independence, but I don't know. But I think I'll still want to have my own separate account, but definitely for our goals, for our children's school fees, or maybe even the family or anything, we can have a joint account, definitely.
Okay, thank you so much for that. Let me add to this, and then I'll ask you another question. All right, so I think it amazes me how people, you can trust your spouse with everything except your money. It still shocks me. I want to say it still shocks me, you get? So that you enter very well. It still shocks me how do you trust the food that your spouse gives to you? You eat it and you believe that you will not die. You trust them with your life, but you don't trust them with money. I'm still trying to understand it. So a man hides his money from the wife and he goes to be with the Lord, all right? And then the wife is left to suffer. Not because she's not even doing anything now, but because he was earning more. She should have protected her more, right? When my mom was alive, okay, my dad was doing everything. Every single thing to ensure that when he goes, so I don't know why he thought he was going to go before my mom. He was doing every single thing he could to ensure that when he goes, my mom will not suffer. She will not even need to ask us that months don't end or how far. She will not need to. My daddy was doing everything. Organizing all the bank accounts, putting this in place, everything as if he knew he was going to go. But the Lord changed the story. My mom went, and my dad is here. And for my husband, on their own side, it was the same. It was as if my father-in-law was doing everything to ensure that if I go at any time, this woman will not suffer. She will not need to... Martin will tell you, PM will tell you that when daddy passed on, mommy became wealthier. She became a millionaire. She became wealthier because everything now belongs to her. Because she knew every single thing. I have a story back then when the man passed on. It was from a banker. The bank was using the man's money to be doing business, making, and the wife was suffering. I mean, it's so unfair. So, this is my challenge to you. If you are doing a relationship and you don't trust somebody with your money, you've not even started. Money should be the least things I can trust people with. I mean, your person wants to get married to. So, please take note. Don't trust them with your life and the thing you put inside that can be poison, and yet you cannot trust them with your money, right? Thank you so much. And to my next question, before we call this a wrap, let me ask about friendship now, and this will be general to all of us. What is your deal breaker? What is that one thing that your friend with you doesn't have this friendship has scattered? I can't even take this one. Like, what's that one thing? Or if it's true, it's fine. But for me, what's that one thing that's your deal breaker? When my friend does this, like, he says, I can't take it anymore. Like, I'm not even going to think twice. This just shows that we can't go on together again. What's that one thing?
I think it's integrity. Okay. Integrity. Your word should be your bound. But when you say some things that you're going to do this thing, even though you won't be able to do it, just tell me why. Because I'm accountable for your growth. I'm really interested in what you want to do, both the male and the female. I'm very interested because you told me by yourself. I'm not forcing you, but I'll make sure that you try to do it. So not trying to do it as if you have just done something very wrong. But I'll still have to just tell you about it.
Friend lies. Or when they can't stand by their words, you can't deal with a lying friend. That's what you're saying.
I can't.
Okay, so that means that for you, one of the things you look out for in friendship is honesty.
Yes. Yes. And also a friend that they can just start up an intelligent discussion.
Okay.
And then for me also, I always love friends that can stay under a conversation that even though you feel like leaving the discussion, and it's really for you, you're just trying to just stay away from them, stay away from that discussion. I'll see you as if you are very weak.
Okay.
Like, for instance, probably someone is correcting you, and I can observe, probably, for instance, if Pastor Regina is correcting you, for instance, and then you just walk away, or you feel as if something, you just feel too overwhelmed. I feel you are just sticking out of life very easily for me. But when you can just stay under the heat discussion, pressure, I feel that you can just stay the time of time for me.
Okay, thank you for that.
For me, I think the deal breaker for me in any relationship that is most important to me is if you mock my godliness. I can't stand it. You cannot talk down on my devotion to God. Talk down on my spirituality. Talk down on my pastors. You wouldn't even want to try it, actually. So any friend that we understand that, okay, where are you? You are not okay. You don't like God. Stay where you are first. But if you go on to tell me things like, oh, you're doing too much, oh, those people are just deceiving you, wala mawao. Yes, it's a big deal breaker for me. And secondly, I don't like people who cannot look me in the eye and tell me, I don't like what you did. I hate it when people, you know, I did something to you and then you kept it to yourself. And then it's in your heart. Maybe you're even telling people. And then you cannot even look me in the eye. I'm this kind of person that if I have issues with you, I will tell you, what you did though. I don't buy it. I don't enjoy what you did. But you now keep it to yourself and then it's there. And then you now wake up one day and say, you know that year you did something for me. I will fear you. I will fear you. And I'll tell you that, homo, get a CBO. So those two, they are deal breakers for me.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. Okay. Because of time, I'll just switch the question on this side. So I want to ask a question around parenting. So in the first service, we had a lot of people asking questions around parenting questions around, their parents fighting in their presence, their parents, shouting at each other, quarreling and trying to make them intermediaries. You know, so I want you to respond to that, Sanma, and what should it be ideally when parents have issues? What's the best way to handle it? Is it okay that your husband did something in your presence and it's okay to just spill it out there and settle it there and then, even in the presence of the children? Or should there be other ways around it? And what do you think would be the impact? And I'm also going to ask you a similar question. What do you think would be the impact on you that you're not married?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, it is wrong when spouses do not have patience with themselves. Because if you have patience, you will not just come to the sitting room and just say whatever you want to say. Yes, your spouse has seriously hurt you and you can't take it. You can wait. You can wait for you to live with somebody that another woman trained, not your siblings. You must be patient enough, especially for we women. Your men should be very, very patient. Well, in some cases, the men are even more patient than the women. No, the women are even more patient than the men, but it is wrong for couples to fight in the presence of their children. It is wrong for couples to argue. It reduces you. Your children will no longer have confidence in you. You will no longer be their strength. They will use you, when they go to their room, they will use you as a bad example. That's just the truth. I have teenagers in my house. They will tell you, these people want to fight like so-and-so person used to fight in their house. No. No matter what the case is, if you are hurt, go and sleep. If you cannot handle the issue, go and sleep. For somebody like me, I'll just go to my shop. And once I leave the house, I will calm down. No matter what the issue is, I will calm down. So I will advise parents. And even at that point, you think you cannot talk to yourselves at that point, go out. That's why we have our phone. You can send text messages. Let me just say it. When I'm hot with my husband, once I go out, we now communicate with text message. Because reporting as in arguing in front of your children will make them even lose confidence in you. I don't know how we see it, but to the best of my knowledge, it will make them lose confidence. They will no longer be proud to say, my parents don't fight. They fight. No couples that don't argue. I don't know. No, to the best of my knowledge, the both of you are not brought up by one parent. Even siblings, they have misunderstanding. So no couples that don't argue or have misunderstanding. But it all depends on how you handle it. You can talk it over in your room. If you think the room is not enough, just carry yourself, go to the hotel and go and fight. Worry, settle there and you come back home.
Okay.
Thank you.
You see why it's good to have money? Yeah? Well, and you can go to the hotel and go and fight. Then you come back. So by that, what she was trying to say with what argument is that there's no family that doesn't have misunderstanding. So the focus is not really the argument. You know, for different people, they have an interpretation. Somebody can think argument means that when we start throwing punches, when we are shouting and quarreling. So we say, yeah, that's not what we do, but there will be misunderstanding. Misunderstanding means that you don't understand what I am saying. We're not on the same page on this. So if you have money, it's a very simple way out. Go and cool off your head somewhere. Just travel. I remember when I was in secondary school back then, one of my friends, her parents had issues. And the next day, Monday, she just traveled out. I was like, wow, I go get money for this life. That was inspirational to me. She was angry. I'm serious. She just left the country and just traveled. And by the time I was called her, she said she's already in another country. Wow. And the next thing, he traveled to go and beg and bring her back. Wow. So I should have money. I have money in this life, all right? I have money in this life. Okay, over to you, sir.
It's you. All right. Well, that was last week. I was at a Lagos Airport Hotel, and the lady I was meeting just came. You see, there are times when you need to go and cool off. It's either the pressure at work is too much or at home is too much, and you need to go and cool down your head. If you have to travel, travel. If you don't have the money to travel to go to Bahamas or where, go to look for a nearby place, cool place. There are some places in Lagos here that when we had our honeymoon, if I tell you where we were, we went to, I and my wife. What's the name of that place again? Ecuvec. If I tell you we went to Ekuvek, you would think we probably went to VG Island. It's just around Abuja there. Go somewhere, relax, think through it. And you know why, when people have conflicts and police come and arrest you that you are quarreling or disturbing the neighborhood and put you in detention, you know what they are invariably doing to you? Once you spend some hours or a day or two in police detention, your head would have calmed down. And you don't want police to come and do that to you. So carry yourself to one place. If you like, you probably can go to a camp. Go to Redeem Camp. Go to any camp you know around. Stay there, inside your room, and boil and boil. And by the time you have spent some hours, your head will calm down, and you return back and discuss the issue. Praise the Lord. Now, when my wife was talking about quarreling before your children, now parents, it is torturing. For some of you who have watched or seen neighbors when they are quarreling, their children just start crying. Nobody beats them. Just because the mother and their father are quarreling or fighting, the children will start crying and shouting. You are torturing them. Psychologically, mentally, you are torturing those children. If you must disagree, if you must have an argument, like we said here, enter your car. My love, please, let's go. We need to talk. Enter the car. Drive to a place. Open the car. Sit down, the two of you, and talk the issue. If you want to shout at each other, shout there. When you finish shouting, you mend your issue. You have to, you pray, right? And then you come back. And I tell you, you will return and find yourself, you are better couples than you left the house. One, you would have saved the children from seeing that scenario that will put them psychologically think that shouting at each other was the best way to go about it. I tell you, there are times when my children, if you raise your voice at your senior, I'll draw your attention to it. No. It's like we are trying to say shouting is the best way to communicate. You don't have to shout. Somebody who is close to you, why do you have to shout? You can say it calmly. Like it's done in the bank. If you ask for what the banks can now do for you, they will politely, with smile, tell you no. Or tell you the conditions. Do this, present this, provide that. Only you will tell yourself, you don't do again. So calmly make your point. You don't have to shout. Because considering that you are now a family, you have a son or two sons or two children, and the two of you are exchanging words before them. In the Western world, what they even ask the children, oh yeah, you go upstairs. Oh yeah, go upstairs, go upstairs. Or they'll take themselves upstairs, go to their room, and discuss this. You shut the door so that the children don't get oppressed, get psychologically destabilized because they are having friction, the man and the woman. Parents, please pay attention. What you are dishing out to these children, they are turning out to become the ambassadors of the homes they come from. If tomorrow they go to the university and they become somebody else there, it all started from the home. That was where it started. Yes, we know that there are peer influences here and there, but do your best. Put the situation in check. Show them the way of God. Show them the way to go. And they will not depart from it. Even if they stray, God will still bring them back. Because that is the foundation for which they've been brought up. Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much, sir. So, I'll let you respond to that as well. And I was just thinking, how about in families where shouting is their normal thing? Like, that's how my dad used to shout, normal, so I'm a shouter. So when I talk, I say, why are you raising your voice? I never shout, I don't shout. I just ask, you say, how far? I never shout. And they're feeling like, you know, that's the way they talk. I'm trying to understand that energy flow of when you, the man comes from a family where shouting is the way we talk. That's our tone. And the lady comes from a family where they just talk softly. I'm trying to understand, how are they supposed to balance that? I'm thinking it's going to be a lot, because I'm just trying to imagine in my mind what the balance is going to be like. One side came from a family where shouting is normal. We always raise our voice, shout at everything. And one came from a family where we talk and communicate. What's supposed to be the balance?
My father has a big voice. And I have noticed one of my daughter also have turned out she has a big voice. Now, if you are that type that when you are talking, your voice is loud. When your spouse notices that your voice is going up and says, then it's time. Because unconsciously, you are not shouting yet, but your voice is already loud. And your spouse says, calm down, bring down your voice. And especially because you don't want neighbors around to begin to, a simple conversation you are having, if you don't bring down your voice, it will look as if you people are already quarreling. The people are like, these people are always quarreling. Whereas, you people are just having normal conversation. So, it's your voice. It's the way your voice, you have a big voice. You cannot do anything about it. But once it is your spouse is noticed, or you yourself, you notice that your voice is going up, and says, bring down your voice. You intentionally bring down your voice. And with time, if you do it over time, you discover that whenever there is tension, instead of using that big tone, you will intentionally bring down your voice. And then gradually over time, you will get used to talking at a lower tone when there is tension. I have a big voice too. Without the mic, you will still hear me very loud. But my wife has a smaller voice tone. So when we talk, my love, bring down your voice. Okay, I will now remember that, yes, I have a big voice. I'll bring down my voice.
Thank you. Praise so much, God. Sir. Okay, over to you.
My dad's voice is very loud. Like, very loud. My mom just... low ringtone. Okay, so whenever there's anything, they just go inside and just talk. But sometimes when my dad is trying to, sometimes they do this try of trying to bounce that your mom did something. Because I know that whenever we try to come in between them, we are always the offender.
All right.
And we are trying to support. So what I just do, I call my dad D, just Dad D. I just tap him. And say, you are the man here, just do your thing. So that's all. And for my mom too. So the way I tend to talk to my mom about this is, my mom is someone that take a day in a week to fast for my dad, which I know. So sometimes she's trying to do that. See the man that you are praying for and fasting for, that you want to be fighting with. So if I say that to her, she'll just... And then I think that's... I don't really come between
them. So what impact has that had on you, seeing them that when they have issues, they maybe... go somewhere, or you really see them
that
having so much physical issues?
Okay, for me, it's a very loving family. Okay. I see that they talk things through. So there was a particular day that they were inside, that I and my younger brother were trying to drop on what they are saying. At the end of the day, I discovered that they just, from what they discussed, they later concluded and everything. So I asked my mom about it, said I should not worry about it, that it's a very sweet man. Someone was just shouting now. So it's really what I learned from them is just sorting things out, even when things are very loud, clouded, thick. You know, even where I could see it from their face when it started, but when they come out from the room, it's all sorted out as if nothing happened. Okay. So I learned that whenever you are trying to get very hot, just talk things through. Communication is very key. And then just talk at the right time. Don't try to extend it. So whenever I get offended, I will just tell you that I'm not happy with you. Straight up. Keeping it up, bulging it up, it can just explode like an atomic bomb. So it doesn't tend to make sense to that extent.
Thank you
yes.
so much.
All right, for me, I don't think I remember many times where my parents had open disagreements. I can't remember, but I know that there was this one time that the disagreement was, it was heated. And I happened to be there. I was the only child at home. I'm the last born. Some of my siblings had gone to school or had moved out. So I was home. And then my mom was like, sure, because that day she, my dad was like, Mama, me, sir. And in my mind, I'm like, are you serious? I'm supposed to do this. I was like, Mommy, calm down. Daddy, calm down. All this stuff. And I think for me, I wasn't happy about it. Like you said, it's torture. Because you don't even know what you're supposed to do. You can't side with your mom and make your dad feel bad. You can't side with your dad and make your mom feel bad. And for me at home, my parents are wonderful people, but they are just people who have flaws. And so sometimes our mom tends to tell us that, see what your dad is doing and all that. And there were times that it made me feel my dad was not that person. Okay. My daddy didn't necessarily talk to us that, hey, see what your mom is doing. He was not necessarily that person. But my mom always wanted our ears. Like, she didn't have friends, so she felt like she could talk to us about these things, especially me, because I was at home, that kind of thing. So it's, for me, at some point it started affecting my, the way I saw my dad. But later, as I grew up, I came to a conclusion that I don't know what kind of husband my dad was to my mom, but he was a very good father to me, and that's what I want to hold on to. I don't know what kind of wife my mom was to my dad, which, to the best of my knowledge, they were okay, actually. They just had their moments. But I just want to accept that you are married. I'm, husband and wife matter. You don't concern me. But you are an amazing dad to me. You are an amazing mom to me. And that is what is my own business, actually. Wow. And something else about the voice thing is that my mom had a loud voice. She was choleric. Like me. So when she's talking, it can be heated sometimes. And it's not even like she's doing it intentionally. She's just like, I'm talking. But my dad was the calmer person. So I think I started realizing that I am like that too. So recently, a friend was telling me that, you are shouting. Like anytime you are talking, your energy, you go be like, say you won't beat me. And I said, okay, let's come to a compromise. Anytime you can see that my energy level is already going to the top, just tap me. Just tell me, tap, tap. Then I'll come. I'll be like, oh, I'm already shouting. Okay, sorry. That kind of thing. So I think that's just it. I've just come to know that you're my parents. That's my business. You're married to each other. That's your business. So that's it.
That's a good take home for us there. Let me do last words and then we'll come from you. Any last words for us? Any last words for us? Anyone? Last words, sir.
I would like to thank the organizers of this forum for this opportunity. PM, sir, we are grateful. Pastor Regina Ma, we are grateful. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. And for those of us who are parents, it's a tough task being parents. It's not impossible, even if it's difficult. I want to say families that pray together will stay together. Do you pray together? Play together? You will stay together. Praise God.
Okay, so with this few points of ours, we hope we have been able to come to the conclusion of this for time's sake, because I'm going to ask PM to come up and we'll take some reactions and some questions. Thank you so much for being a part of Podcast TV. You do have an amazing service ahead. PM, sir, you can have it, sir, now.
Thank you very much. Can we put our hands together for them as they step down? While the conversation was going on, I observed questions, so I'll give answers to questions. Is that fine? Yes. I'll be as fast as I can. A lot of questions on the Slido app link. Let me touch a few of them. Okay, so I'll just start from here. how can we discover snoring and whether a lady can help or not without living together? Glory to God. Yes, someone is saying, oh, as Christians, we are taught not to live together before we get married. How do I know if she snores? How do I know if he snores? How do I? The first question is snoring something so important that can make you say no to the person? If it is very important, ask the person the question during the course of your relationship. Do you snore? Yeah, part of the important conversations. Are we here together? Yes. You might not ask it directly. Find ways that the person can know avoid. Maybe somebody snored, or you watch something and somebody is snoring. And like, ah, this person snores. Have you ever snored before? And the person is like, ah, I snore every day. So you already know that if it is that important to you. But if it is not important to you, it is not necessary to ask about that. One of the reasons we say people should not live together is because of the place of sexual purity in marriage. One of the things that sexual involvement does in marriage, that it destroys trusts eventually in that relationship. Then there is a see finish aspect of it, especially for the ladies. Most of the times, the natural man is polygamous in nature, not the Christian man. The natural man, if he has seen all the things without having a sense of commitment and godliness, chances are that he might not even end up marrying you. So you have lost first. Do we understand what I'm saying now? So you need to be able to give that space so that he will respect you, respect your body, value you, pay the money he should pay, go ahead and do what he should do and marry you. Now, after he has married you, there is a sense of commitment that has entered. That way he knows that I am married and I am married. But if he has started testing and all that, and eventually during the course of your testing, you know, when you go try to go and buy suya, Malam gives you to test. If Malam gives you to test and discover that one he gives you to test is fat, ordinary fat, you say, no, I don't want that one. That's what exactly happens. So by the time people are done and the guy says, no, I don't want one, we'll look for another one. So if testing is the way, you are in trouble. Does that make sense? So if snoring is major to you, you pay attention to that. So anything that is important to you, ask the questions during the course of your conversations, during your courtship. Ask questions. There are a lot of questions to ask. The only problem, the reason we don't ask questions is that we're usually carried away with other things and we don't focus on the most important things. So write down a list of the things that matter a lot to you. Yeah, what if she does not know how to cook? How will I know? So coming to your house is so that she can cook for you. Is that all you want to do with your life? She can learn how to cook. Pay for her to go to a catering school, 6 months, 3 months, 4 months program, and she will learn how to cook. And that will help you. And what if she learns how to cook and she's just that person that does not like cooking? She should have told you during the course of relationship, I really don't like cooking so much. I would be very glad if we can always get somebody to make bowl of soup for us. If you can cope, you marry. If you cannot cope, you tell her, I cannot cope. I eat too much. The way my life is, I can't survive without food. It's simple. There's nothing hard. It's just what you are trying to make out of it. But can I tell you the truth? Anybody can learn how to cook. I remember I usually make just of my wife. I told her those days my wife would cook stuff from her house and she would send stuff to me. Then there was a day I was eating. I said, was it then or after marriage? Before marriage. I now discovered that this egusi soup, it was tasting like curry. She actually used curry to prepare everything. And I was like, soup and curry, no, they go. So I corrected her. So I had to teach her some other things. She had learned things, but she knows the things they cook in their house. Black soup, granite soup. I don't eat granite soup. I don't eat black soup. I don't know what that is. When there is olubu, when there is oha, when there is egusi, when there is ofe, achara, and many things. Apodapumbam. You know, many things that we can eat. So because we are from different backgrounds, she had to learn the things that she had not even finished learning it. There are so many things that she still doesn't do for me now. But because I am connected and I'm married, sometimes I would just advise her to. Maybe they should buy something outside or something. Because food is not my life. I eat so that I can do ministry. I don't eat to live. Do we understand what I'm saying here now? Like my food is not, my life is not food. So ask about it. How do I make genuine friends? Genuine friends. Number one, if you want to have genuine friends, first of all, you have to be genuine. You cannot make the kind of friends that you are not. You attract your kind. So the question is, everybody, can you hear me? Can you still hear me clearly? Yes, I'll be as audible because of the rain. So are you a genuine person? Are you a person of integrity? Then you will have people of integrity. Bible says whoever wants to make friends must show himself friendly. So if you're a liar, you most likely will be connected with what? Liars. If you're somebody who does some terrible things, those are the kind of people you find around your space. That is how life is. So it is important that you, first of all, become a genuine person. Then connect with people who are truly children of God. True children of God. There are plenty of people who are true children of God. The question will be, who are the people you are connecting with? When I got born again, I hang out with some guys. We play dice. We play football and table tennis, snooker. So we bet and all that. As soon as I got born again, I disconnected from those guys. Some of them were still calling me for the meeting. Like, guy, how far you no go show up? I know, come, Jerry. I could not preach to them at that point because I don't think they would listen to me. So I distanced myself. Then after a while, I became stronger and I started reaching out to some of them. Some of them got born again. Some of them are not born again. They are still where they are. And there's nothing I can do. I pray about it and all that. But they are not yet born again. But some of them are born again now. Yes. Some of you, when you get born again and get serious, you want to drag all your friends immediately. You cannot easily do that. It's very difficult to drag somebody from down up. It is easier to drag somebody from up down. It's very difficult. So avoid that. So connect with the right people. Next question. I grew up watching my parents argue. Now I think it is beginning to affect me. Somebody asked that kind of question. I grew up watching my parents argue, something like that, and now it's beginning to affect me. First thing, it is good that you know now that it is a wrong thing to see that. So you understand right now that this is very wrong. So know what you saw was wrong. Agree. Number two, discover the right and ideal thing to do. Then it is wrong to argue. I'm not supposed to argue in front of my children. You have learned that right now. If you're a married person, you're already aware of it now that it's very wrong. Some people think that we are training the children to know how to handle things. No, that's not a good training. That's not how to lecture people. You can't help children that way. It's emotional torture, just as they have said. Then discover the right thing. Then start practicing the right things. So you start practicing the right things. In fact, there are many things you learned from your parents that are totally wrong. So you will start practicing the opposite of those things in your personal space with your normal friends. Practice it in your relationship before you get married. And always say it, that the reason I am like this is because I grew up seeing this and I don't want to be like this. It has a way of resetting your mind that this is what I grew up seeing and I have decided I'm going to be a better father. I'm not going to send anybody to buy cigarette for me because I kept on buying cigarette for my dad until I started smoking. I will not send anybody to buy beer for me because I kept on buying beer for my dad until I became a beer master. So you say to yourself, I don't want to be like that because these are the things I grew up seeing. I told us the other time of a particular girl that came to share with me that the first time she saw pornography, real, was in her mother's phone. And realized that her mother was actually watching terrible things. Then she got stuck and addicted to pornography. It took a lot for her to come out. So you see the impact of parents on their children. Are we here together? Yes. So you want to practice the right things. Then connect with families. Connect with people that are doing the right things. Connect with people that are doing the right things. You'll be able to learn more from them. Be able to learn more from them. Somebody said, why do fathers shout a lot? Why do fathers shout? Well, not all fathers shout. Some fathers are introverts, some are extroverts. If you have an extrovert father, most likely he will raise his voice. And sometimes it's from his own background too, whatever it is that he has learned. But the ideal thing I have told us before is that the Bible said that the voice of the righteous man should not be heard in the street. That means we should not shout that our neighbors will start separating and trying to, help us. It doesn't make sense. Did I tell you of the man who beat his wife and the woman was so angry and she said, I will show everybody what you are enjoying in this street today. She now ran out naked. She ran out naked. And the man has been, maybe somehow, he now said that in their family, if you go out naked and other men see, there is a sacrifice you have to do, blah, 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 to come back to the house. When she ran out naked, after they settled, she could not face the neighbors again.
So they had to move away from that house. Extra expenses, unplanned. They rented another apartment. So be careful what you do in the heat of anger. In the heat of anger, you have to be very careful what you do. Financial disclosure. I heard about that here. Financial disclosure. Should I tell my wife how much I earn and everything I earn? Should I tell my husband how much I earn and everything I earn? It depends. If you have a reckless husband that can use house rent to play Niger bets, don't tell him. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I said? If you know that it's in the character of your husband to use house rent money to play lotto betting, it will now come back with slippers when he went out with shoe. That is the kind of man you are married. Don't tell him everything. So that the day he has used house rent to pay lotto, you can deliver him. Because if you tell him and you give him the money and he uses it to play lotto, all of you will be homeless. Does that make some sense? Recklessness is what makes couples begin to hide their funds. When you realize your wife is very reckless with money, anytime she sees that you have money, she wants to buy everything. Most of the times, the men will say, I won't tell her about this. When you realize your husband is that way, she don't want to tell him about it. But if both of you have agreed and you know that we have a plan, babe, we want to build a house. We're supposed to be saving for our vacation. We're traveling to UK. Why are we going to spend like that? Wherever there is a vision, both parties begin to plan together. But most of the times, relationships, they don't have vision. The husband is not showing the wife where they are going. As a result of that, any money the wife sees, she wants to enjoy the benefits now. Does that make any sense to us? So cast a vision for your wife. Show her where you're going to. Babe, we are going to own estates, not just one house. This money I'm saving for this purpose. This one, we want to start this business. This one, we want to send the children to the UK. They're supposed to go to school and have a good education. This is our education fund. Every money that comes out, it will take a very foolish woman to do otherwise. And most of times, men are the ones that have that responsibility. Men, listen to me. You have a lot of responsibility to lead your home. If a man doesn't take that position and the woman is the one doing that, very soon the man will start feeling bad. Because the woman is the one having a vision. She's seen everything. And she wants to push. Are we here together? Does it make any sense? So, saving your money together depends on your partner, the kind of person that you are married to. It matters a lot. How do I avoid emotional connection? How do I build emotional connection with opposite sex without finding ourselves in sexual whatever? I think, how do I build emotional connection with opposite sex without liking them or withdrawing when I feel like they like me so I don't always enjoy myself? You can build connection with opposite sex without having to fall into sin. Number one, what are your values? You must know your values. And number two, set your boundaries. Number three, communicate your values. I know what my values are. And this person is coming and we're talking, we're gisting, we're very, very connected. And I realize it. But I have told you what my values are. I have told you what my boundaries are. And I communicate my boundaries and my values to you. I expect you to respond to me the same way. If he now begins to react in a strange way, or she now begins to react in a strange way, she'll break the relationship. Why? Your values and your boundaries are more important. And anybody that does not respect your values and your boundaries, they should not be in your life. Am I communicating? Is he perfect? The guy is very perfect. He does everything right, but he smokes and he's willing to change. You are already defensive. Something is wrong with you. How do you know he's willing to change? That means you don't want to come out. If he's willing to change, willingness to change is not the same thing as change. People don't change because they are just willing. People change when they take action and they have broken off. You cannot tell change until change is evident. So to say that he is willing to stop, that means you want to be that person that will enter first and watch the willingness. I guarantee you, if it's Rotmans that is smoking now, his eyes, loud, cloud, hell, that he will start smoking soon. You know why? As soon as he has entered and you have entered and marriage has kept both of you together, most of the times, the excesses of your spouse are the first things that will push out. So imagine somebody you are saying he's willing and he knows that what should have made him stop, you have entered already. It's a lie. Five frogs standing on a log of wood. Five of them are willing to jump down. How many jump down? None of them. Willingness is not jumping down. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So don't say somebody is willing to break out of something until they have done it. Just imagine a guy. I'm in a relationship with a girl. She hangs around with other guys and they sleep with her. She's willing to stop it. How does it sound? She's willing to stop. When we marry, she go stop. Marry. That's the exact thing. I just gave you the opposite side of the flip. Smoking is difficult. Drugs is difficult. Alcohol is difficult. Sexual immorality is difficult to break out of. If the person has not yet broken out of it, they don't have a hold on themselves. Something stronger is holding them. So don't try to make excuse for somebody. Let them decide by themselves and do it before you eventually get married. And not that they stop smoking for 2 days or 2 weeks or 6 weeks. Somebody should have stopped and have a testimony and know the implication. And let the person start talking about, in fact, let them be the one crusading against it with passion. And you know that this person has changed. Am I communicating? The economy is hard. How do we save? Number one, truly the economy is hard. If you, some of us, those of us who are earning, salary earners, it is possible that your salary has not increased, but inflation is everywhere. Can everybody at the back hear me clearly? Thank you. I'm trying to shout so that you can hear me. Now, the first thing you do is, you might not be able to save big, but save small. Ideally, you should save 5% of your income, regardless of whatever happens. If you earn 100,000 naira, you should be saving 5,000 naira. Minimum. Smallest. Some people can afford to save more. Some people might not be able to. Then somebody saying, Pastor, even the 100,000 naira is not enough. Well, I understand. That should make you to start thinking of other streams of income or upgrade your skill so that you can earn more. Am I communicating? So it's possible that for that particular season, you are not able to save so much, but know that you are sitting on a gunpowder and you are in a very dangerous position. If you cannot save from whatever you are earning, you are in a very dangerous position. What if something happens and you need some money? You will automatically either beg or start looking for how to get loans. So start thinking of alternative sources of income. That's what you need to do. And have multiple streams. More than one, more than two. That will help you. Yes. Spouse. My spouse is encouraging me to borrow so that we can invest with the money we borrow. If your spouse is encouraging you to borrow with your own phone number, why can't he use his own phone number to borrow? Because by the time you borrow and you don't pay, those loan people will put your obituary and put candle and send it to all your friends. They did it to somebody I know. And since then, it has painted a wrong picture of that person in my mind. So I had to ask another person, is this person really like this? Ask this person what happened. Then they reached out to the person and asked him. He now said, actually, he borrowed money and he has paid. But unfortunately, they did that because he's delayed in paying. They sent me his obituary with candle and his name. Then another one, you know, people, like, they just send anything. They said, this man you see here is a ritual killer. He has killed his wife and his children and is about to kill his neighbors. If you know him, please reach out to this number. I didn't reach out to any number because it might just be an artisan whose number I saved. Am I supposed to reach out? No. But he painted a picture of who that person is somehow to me. A borrower is servant to the lender. In this day and age, the common thing for many people to do is to quickly borrow. Please be careful. Borrowing is not the way out. Sometimes it is laziness. You are not willing to press and upskill. You are not willing to sacrifice and do even the menial things. Do menial things than borrow. It is better to have the dignity of labor than the sacrifice and the shame of borrowing and, you know, looking like somebody who doesn't make some sense. But if you are borrowing to do a big business, it is fine. Your husband is doing a business that you are not sure of and is asking you to borrow with your picture, your phone number, your name. Discuss it with him and say, honey, I'm not sure I want to do this. It's important to me and I know you love me, we love ourselves, but how about you use your own phone number to do the borrowing? if he insists, look for a third party you respect and he respects and discuss it so that he will not feel like you hate him. Why? Especially if you know that your husband is a borrower and he has borrowed with his own number and he has deleted the number and your number is the next. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. How do I move on from a heartbreak? Is that one there? I had a relationship or something. I need to move on. How do I move on? Please take note of this and write it down. Number one, as soon as there is a heartbreak, the first thing is grief. That means you are pained, you are grieved, you are angry. It is very good. Grieve very well. Cry very well. Express yourself. Stay on your pillow. Cry. Look at the color of your tears. Snap yourself. Cry. Hallelujah. When you are done crying, cut off your contact from your ex. Everything that connects both of you together, cut it off, cut it off, cut it off. The contact, block the person's number, unfriend them on social media, disconnect everything about the person around your space first. Remember, you are trying to help yourself first. Am I communicating? Now, when you have done that, create a system of support. You need friends. You need to be with your family members. Look for those people that believe in you, you love, and they love you. Stay around them. Your conversations will begin to change, and they will fill up your mind with fresh and new things. As soon as that begins to happen, you are stylishly healing. You have not healed yet, though, but you are coming up. You are balancing yourself gradually. Then, during the course of that balancing, start thinking and asking questions. What did I learn from that past relationship? Every relationship is a platform to learn. What did I do? What did I not do? Why was I kicked out? If the person was bold enough and told you it's because you had mouth odor, go and buy toothpaste and start brushing. If the person was generous enough to tell you that the reason he left you is because you are very saucy and rude, go back and ask some people around your space and tell them, do a feedback. Am I rude? Do I sound saucy? Am I this kind of person? Ask questions. Some people think that it is wrong. No, ask questions. Sometimes some people cannot stand the way you are. That's why they left you. And sometimes you probably did not do anything, but you still need to do what? Ask questions. Reflect. Reach out to your friends that are around you and ask, are there things you think somebody like me will do that can be a turn off for a man, for a guy? Please tell me. Be sincere with yourself. If you are not sincere with yourself, you can't go far. Am I communicating? Then forgive yourself for the things you did wrong. If you don't forgive yourself, you cannot do well. Forgive yourself. Oh, I forgive myself. I'll take care of myself more. I forgive myself. I will not sound like this anymore. This is how to sound better. That means you are beginning to get better. Am I making sense right now? You are also learning from that mistake so that it will not repeat itself. Then you begin to rebuild your walls. Begin to reshape yourself. Begin to reorganize yourself. Then the next thing is forgive the person. That's where the problem is. If you don't forgive the person, you find yourself in a situation where you'll be traumatized. As a result of that, you might now conclude that all guys are the same. Men are not to be trusted. Blah, blah, blah. All these wrong, negative mindsets. Forgive the person. He has a right or she has a right to decide who she wants to be with. And I don't have to be the person you're going to be with. But you trust that you're going to have a good relationship. Why? I have learned from my mistakes and I will get it right this time. So that when you see the person the next time, you don't feel pain, you don't feel bad, you don't feel angry, bitter. Then you start crying again. If I see my ex, reduce the quality of your life. But if you think you're struggling with making friends, you need to learn, because friends are important. You are not designed to live alone or go through life alone. You want to explore the book. Somebody wrote it there, and I've always recommended it here. How to Win Friends and Influence Others. That will teach you the basics, the normal things about friendship and how to have the right friends and keep quality friends. I said it in the first service. You need to know the kind of people that your children will go and visit when you get married. You know the kind of people that your children will stay around after you have gotten married. The people you will hang around when you are older. The people that will be feeding you with things when you're older. You will need people around you. Friendship is important. Haven't you seen that sometimes millionaires
billionaires always want to hang out around themselves and just gist some things. The quality of their conversations usually enhance their lives. If you have friends that are always talking about the boy this, the girl this, the man, no, have friends that talk about God, business, career, moving forward, excelling, becoming better. These are the kind of people you need. But if your friends are always talking about Sarah and Sandra, hey, if you see how Sandra take, you don't have friends. You have frenemies. May God help us in Jesus' name. Okay. We'll close just because of the rain, so I just want to take two more. I'll stop now. Walking away in between arguments. Somebody said we should balance it. Pastor, walking away in between arguments, should it be the normal thing? Oh, it's not the normal thing. You only walk away when it is tensed and you are overwhelmed. And you know that you will not act right the next moment. That's when you walk away. So walking away is not the next thing. I just walk away. No. It's when you are tensed, you get to that point where you know, I can't even handle it. You get to that point where you know that somebody will slap somebody. Are you getting what I'm saying right now? That's when you walk away from that relationship. And if you are the man, it's easy for the man to walk away. There are some ladies, if they walk away, the man will drag them back. Are you okay? I'm talking to you and you're walking away. It depends on who you married. If you marry a lion of the tribe, that's how you get. But if you marry somebody who understands, when you walk away, you already understand. Or you discuss it ahead. That, honey, the last time I walked away, I didn't like the way you treated me. When next you see me walk away, it's because I don't want to say things that I should not say. I love you so much, I don't want to hurt you with my words. That's why I walk away. So if there's an argument next time, you walk away. The guy understands that walk away means I love you and I don't want to hurt you. That's communication. Am I communicating? Is it making sense? Very good. So walking away is not the best. It's just when you are tensed and everything is too much. And if you are a lady and your spouse or your partner, person is talking and they are angry, you want to keep quiet. The best listening is more important than talking. Listening is more important than what? Talking. So when somebody is shouting and keep quiet and listen and be praying in your mind and say, Holy Spirit, help me. I have self-control. Don't say it out, because you can say, what are you saying? You're still talking. I said it depends on who you married. So you keep quiet while you're talking to the Holy Spirit to help me to control myself. Because you know, if you walk away, you can get angry. And boy, stay a distance where hand cannot reach your face, depending on who you married. Am I helping somebody? Yes. I have a partner, she never says sorry. She never feels she's wrong. She's always right. She's never wrong. She's always right. She's never wrong. She's always right. Now, yes, there are ladies that are like that, but they need to learn. That's not the ideal woman. Femininity is simplicity. I had a meeting yesterday. I went to preach to a couple of ladies, just women alone. So I was invited to come and talk to them and about red flags and how to identify relationship red flags. Just ladies alone. And I shared a lot of these things with them. I said many things in that meeting. Yes. Now, there are some ladies that are too confrontational, argumentative, and defensive. If you notice you are that kind of person, if you continue like that, you will look like shit before every man. Shit will be better. He will prefer to stay in the toilet and admire his poo than to look at your face. Can you hear what I'm saying? Respect. Men naturally are very big on respect. Does it mean to disrespect a woman? No. But I'm saying that the number one thing that men crave for is respect. And that's why you have to give it to them if you really want to live and stay with them. And respect means different things to different men. You might need to ask the man you're with, what does respect mean to you? That's communication again. After he has told you, then you start practicing that thing. If you are the kind of lady that talks a lot, they talk one, you talk five. you will not go far in the relationship. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You need to learn to be a more simple person. Don't be a strong and hard. The ones I know, they are close to 55. They are not married. I know them and I know their problem. Because even in a conversation with normal people, that's how they behave. They are sometimes very successful in their career. They work with their boss. They don't talk that way. They enjoy being bossed by their boss, but they don't enjoy being bossed by their husband. So when they go home, they reverse the coin. The same way you listen to your husband, say, "Yes, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. I've heard you, sir. I'll do everything, sir." That's the same way you're supposed to respond to your husband at home. "Yes, sir. Thank you. I'll do everything." Maybe in a more sweet manner now. "Thank you, honey. No problem. You know that's why I love you. I'll do what you have said. Thank you very much." You walk away. If he's talking, don't talk back. If he's arguing, don't argue. Keep quiet. Be calm. Because at the end of the day, if anybody sees you, they assume that you are the cause of the problem. Now, but what if my husband is shouting at me? Two wrongs cannot make a right. Now, if you have that kind of lady in your space and you sincerely love her, get a counselor. Take her to somebody you know that can talk to her. Let them sit her down and teach her and explain to her. If you observe in your relationship and she has learned it, you can go ahead and marry. Because some people don't know. That's why they behave like that. They have not learned. But some people, that is the way they grew up. That's what they saw. And they are not ready to change. There's nothing you can do about that kind of person. Leave her and let her go. If she marries a guy that is very calm and gentle, if she's shouting, the guy can just look and say, "I love it when you're shouting. Your shout makes me love you more." Let her marry that kind of person. There are some people she will still marry and her life will work, but not you. But does it mean that character is good? No. Because even that gentleman, one day, he might also feel self-esteem is lowered, doesn't feel like a man any longer. Do we understand what I'm saying? Yes. Yes. I think I'm done. The last one. Why do parents feel it's the responsibility of their children to correct them? Maybe that's how they grew. If your parents feel like it's your responsibility to correct them, school your parents. Since they have allowed you to school them, school them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your parents believe that you are the one that's supposed to correct them. School them now. And one day, as a toy, say, "Daddy, it is not my responsibility to tell mommy. Mommy, it is not my responsibility to tell daddy. I love you, daddy. I love you, mommy. But as I am, there's nothing much I can do about this, your issues. The Lord will help you. We are praying for you. This marriage will get better. This home will not scatter. In Jesus' name. Amen." Don't stay in between. When they settle, you will be at the center. They will now consider whether you are the kind of child they should send for further training, or you are the one that should be the one that will sacrifice for others. Many decisions will be made. So keep quiet. School them by telling them, and that will be the best. Thank you very much, everybody. How many of us enjoyed the conversations? Did we learn anything?
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.